warmer late week, upper 50s on Thursday. Rain returns Thursday night. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
From CBS 8 and ABC 32, I'm Julia Brooks. A Montgomery police officer was arrested Friday for domestic violence. A woman told police that after an argument, 31-year-old Neil Flournoy kept her from leaving her home while he was armed with a gun. Police say the woman was not injured. The officer is charged with domestic violence and unlawful imprisonment. In Lee County, two women were arrested for trafficking over 3 pounds of meth. They were pulled over for a traffic stop on Highway 280. Deputies also found a small amount of marijuana. Stormy Rodriguez and Ashley Cooper are in the Lee County Jail on more than $50,000 bond each. In Wetumpka, this weekend marked 1 year since an EF2 tornado ripped through the city. Sunday, the community held a praise service to mark the anniversary. Wetumpka Mayor Jerry Willis says much of the damage has been cleaned up or repaired, but estimates it could take up to 2 years to fully recover. Those are your news headlines. For more on these stories and others, be sure to watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Julia Brooks.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Alabama Home Mortgage is in the business of saving you money. Hey there, I'm Kim Williams along with Madeline Cannon. Figuring out new ways to stretch your mortgage dollar is what we do at Alabama Home Mortgage.
Here's the deal. Getting started is as simple as dialing 567-4223. In fact, why not try doing that right now?
You'll be amazed at the amount of cash you can save. So please, don't wait any longer. Call 567-4223 right now.
A retired Air Force pilot in Pike Road was experiencing some turbulence with his money. So he called Alabama Home Mortgage to see what we could do to help.
We lowered his monthly payment by $587, reduced his term by 5 whole years, and allowed him to skip 2 mortgage payments. With Alabama Home Mortgage as his co-pilot, he was able to soar to new financial heights.
Take advantage of today's low rates and reduce your monthly burden much sooner than you thought ever possible.
10 minutes is all it takes to find out how much you can save.
Let us show you the Alabama Home Mortgage difference.
Call 567-4223 or visit us at alahomemortgage.com to apply today. NMLS 1586. 636-8, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
This is Derek's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
After the third time jump-starting my car, I finally realized my battery was dying. So I stopped by O'Reilly to have it checked. They tested it right there in the parking lot. It was bad, real bad. But they helped me find the right battery for my car and even installed it for free. Now my car starts like new.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
The River Region's first and only News Talk station on FM. Live, local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Monday. Starting your week out right. Reminder, Jeff Sessions is going to be in studio with us at 2:30 today, 272-9228. Any caller can get in on Sweet Way Farm Market Gift Basket Drawing. What's in that gift basket? Oh, glad you asked. $60 worth of goodies you put in there from Sweet Creek Farm Market. First time caller, your name goes in twice. Therefore, increasing your odds. We do that drawing on Friday between 2:30 and 2:45. Let's see which way we want to go in this time before the Senator / Attorney General gets here. Let's not do Adam Schiff yet.
Thank you.
Saved you from yourself.
Indeed.
This was kind of interesting. Alan Dershowitz was on Sean Hannity on Friday, and I picked this up, but this is Pam Bondi talking about it. Why don't you... let's not do the first Pam Bondi. Let's do the second cut. This is Alan Dershowitz talking about his role in the trial. This is interesting.
Professor Dershowitz, I know you're going to deal with the constitutionality of this.
Constitution's clear about the specific role that it's solely in the House's power, their realm, to impeach. They've done that. Now they have House managers chosen. They will present their case. Trials to be held in the Senate. We have the presiding judge will be the Supreme Court Chief Justice, John Roberts. Question is, why do some Republicans want to somehow do the House's job if they didn't do a good job, which we know they didn't do a good job, and this is a nothing case?
Well, my job next week will be to present the constitutional case against impeachment, a case that I've been presenting on your show, in two books, in 25 articles. I will not deal with the nitty-gritty of the facts and whether there should be witnesses or not, but just from a personal point of view, the Constitution approach, which was suggested in prior impeachments, was always to have the facts presented to the House of Representatives, cross-examination. You then get a report, and the report is what's put on trial. The one thing that's critically clear is that if the Democrats are allowed to call witnesses, President Trump's lawyers will have to be allowed to call witnesses, and they're going to determine initially whether the witnesses are relevant. On CNN all day, they've been saying today that Hunter Biden wouldn't be relevant, but of course he'd be relevant if witnesses were called, because the issue is, was he corrupt? Did the president legitimately have an interest in ferreting out corruption, including the corruption of Hunter Biden? So I think if the Democrats begin to open the door, they will regret it. Also, it will put the trial off for months, maybe even longer than that, because they're going to call Bolton. Bolton will want to testify, the president will invoke executive privilege, and then the Senate will have to take that case to court. And the court will have to decide, either in a blanket way or question-by-question way, whether or not Bolton has the right to answer these questions. Remember, he doesn't get to make the decision. It's made by the president in the first instance, and then the courts.
Now, did we get a sneak preview of him? And Van Hollen's talking about it right now. He's saying, oh, Hunter Biden's just a sideshow. He doesn't have any firsthand knowledge of anything. And you simultaneously, we were listening to Alan Dershowitz say, yeah, of course he has something to do with it.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, in his time that he is up there, if Biden is specifically going to be mentioned to the Senate. That if you have witnesses, Hunter Biden definitely needs to be part of the witness book.
Because Senator John Kennedy laid this out months ago. What we're really arguing about over aside from the constitutional concerns, which I think Dershowitz is going to be masterful with it, but if you do get down to the nitty-gritty details of the call, perfect call, you could really say this trial would be about the president's state of mind when he made those requests of Zelensky. Is it a corrupt intent, so to speak?
Right.
And you can really show the president's intent and state of mind by talking to the person that the president got concerned about, Hunter Biden, who was right at the center of this company. So, you know, we'll see. But I think it's their idea that this is only about the president's actions. Well, the president's actions had to do with
something.
Yeah, had to do with the Bidens. Had to do with all sorts of stuff.
Well, I think Dershowitz is a brilliant choice, because he can make that argument as a Democrat. He's going to say, I'm a Democrat.
Yeah.
As he said in this, is that, and he's going to make the piece of the argument so when they get down to these crossroads, he's going to have laid out a case that if you're going to do witnesses, and that's saying you should, but if you're going to do witnesses, Hunter Biden should definitely be there, because he has, if it's shown that he, you know, if he can't answer why he was receiving $1 million a year, Good work if you can find it.
Transparency.
Yeah, and then you have a problem. There was a corruption that was there. And that's why Trump did what he did, period. If there wasn't something there, then now we know about it. So why not find out about it if you're in full transparency? Let's start with Alan Dershowitz on witnesses and the timeline.
So John Bolton says, well, it's the president's executive privilege. He gets to invoke it. President said he will invoke it. By the way, all prior presidents have, and you know all the instances in the Obama years. So the question is, and he says, well, I want to testify anyway. That would then have to be litigated separately, Professor?
Absolutely. Now, there are two ways you can litigate it. One, you can make a motion to the Chief Justice. I think he would defer to the Senate. And then the issue, if the Senate votes, they will probably agree that it's executive privilege, then the Senate probably could take it to the courts and seek to have a redetermination in the courts. But it would take forever. Remember, the Democrats said the reason they didn't bring the Bolton subpoena to the courts is it would take too much time. Now they want to do it again, which will take even more time and postpone the Senate trial for possibly months until they get a definitive decision from the United States Supreme Court. So they're trying to have it both ways.
So that was a pretty insightful part. Now, Bondi is going to be, this is Pam Bondi from Florida. She's part of the team here on witnesses. And then Dershowitz is going to be talking about the Constitution here.
Pam, where do you weigh in on the witness issue and the executive privilege issue? Because those are now front and center. And I do agree with the professor. There's got to be reciprocity here. We're going to have witnesses. I'd like to hear from the congenital liar, Adam Schiff. I think he's compromised in this case. Mm-hmm. I would like to hear from Hunter Biden. Do you know any company in Florida when you were attorney general that paid people millions of dollars that had absolutely zero experience? I've never heard that.
No.
Professor Dershowitz never got me that gig.
Absolutely zero experience, Sean. And, you know, Professor Dershowitz is, of course, right on this. First of all, this should have been handled in the House. It wasn't. They punted. They want the Senate to do their dirty work now. They can't get a redo, and that's what they're trying to get in the U.S. Senate. But, you know, executive privilege is very important, not only for President Trump, but for every future president. Can you imagine if that got waived for every future president with national security issues, that just could be said and talked about all the time? It would be horrible for our country for centuries to come. So I doubt that's going to happen. If it does, though, and if they want witnesses, bring it on, because we're going to have plenty of witnesses to call. If they want witnesses, we're going to have them too.
The reason I agreed to do this, over the great objection of some of my family members and many, many friends, one of my relatives today wrote to me and said, "Will you please change your last name?" The reason is because I'm concerned about future presidents. This will weaken the presidency if this is a precedent. It will make impeachment a weaponized tactic to be used anytime a president who's controversial faces a House that has a majority on the other side. That's not what the framers had in mind. And I will lay out the debates over the Constitutional Convention, lay out what happened, why the framers picked these four words, treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors, four concepts. And hopefully my goal is to persuade some Democrats. I'm a Democrat. I want to persuade some Democrats that this is not an impeachable offense and have them vote not to impeach, not to remove the president.
Okay, then we roll over to Ted Cruz and spare everybody of Adam Schiff right
Thank
now.
Thank you,
Ted Cruz is on the Judiciary Committee, but he's also on a subcommittee over the Constitution. My first glancing blow with Ted Cruz was a YouTube that I picked up where he was talking about the Constitution and the historic parts of it. Very much a teacher. Very good. That was my first shot with him.
Yeah.
He's much better doing that than doing speeches that are rah-rah speeches. He's much more comfortable talking about the Constitution than talking about patriotism and things like that. Let's listen to Ted Cruz here talking about what to expect with Maria Bartiromo in the length of the trial.
How long will this impeachment trial last? Here's Senate Judiciary Chairman Lindsey Graham on this program 2 weeks ago.
Well, I hope to have the trial over by the end of January. We'd use the Clinton model where you take the record established in the House, let the House managers appointed by Pelosi make the argument, let the president make his arguments on why the two articles are flawed. And then we'll decide whether or not we want witnesses, but this should be done in a couple of weeks.
Joining me right now in an exclusive interview is Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. So this is the first time we will hear from the president. Of course, the president and the White House coming out with a statement last night ahead of the trial. Would you agree that this could be as short as 2 weeks? What's your expectation?
I think it's certainly possible that this trial could last 1 to 2 weeks. On the other hand, if the Senate makes the decision to go down the road of additional witnesses, that could extend it to 6, 8 weeks or even longer. So I think there are really two paths here. But what you just noted there is important. This week is going to be the first time in a year that the president has had the opportunity to defend himself, to lay out the facts, to lay out the law, to lay out the actual substance. We've seen months and months and months of a one-sided show trial from House Democrats, where they didn't want to hear from the defense, where they shut out the White House, where they shut out the minority. The good news is, in the Senate, what I'm confident of is we're going to have a fair trial. We're not going to give in to the kind of games that House Democrats have played. Instead, we're going to give both sides a full and fair opportunity to present their case. The House managers will have every opportunity to stand up and to present their arguments, to put forth whatever evidence they have. But for the first time, the president, the White House defense team, is going to be able to walk through the facts and substance. And I think that's a very, very important development.
So, and between Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham, but particularly Ted Cruz part of it, because I think Ted Cruz is much more knowledgeable of the Constitution than Lindsey Graham is, Mike Lee and Ted Cruz make an awesome pair talking about the Constitution. Ted Cruz is going to be talking about witness reciprocity. Listen to this.
About your reciprocity resolution. So if you were to go down the road of witnesses, you want it to be reciprocal. Tell us about that.
Well, that's right. You know, it's kind of strange how we got here. So Democrats have been having hearings, have been doing impeachment for months in the House. They brought in all sorts of witnesses. They blocked the minority from having any witnesses. And then as soon as we get to the Senate, the Democratic talking point is, we want more witnesses. Never mind all the witnesses they called before. They want yet more. And they're trying to delay this. They're trying to drag this out. They want this trial to go on forever because they have a political objective of attacking the president. What I've said and what I've urged the conference is listen, if we go down the road of witnesses, we're not going to do what the House did. We're not going to have a one-sided kangaroo court. Instead, we're going to respect reciprocity. What does that mean? That means if the prosecution gets a witness, the defense gets a witness. If the prosecution gets two, the defense gets two. That means if the prosecution gets to call John Bolton, then the president gets to call Hunter Biden. And I got to tell you, the Democrats are terrified about seeing a witness like Hunter Biden testify because they don't want to hear evidence of actual corruption, of corruption potentially of Joe Biden, corruption that occurred during the Obama administration. They blocked all those witnesses in the House. They're not going to succeed in blocking him in the Senate. If they want to go down the road of witnesses, that means the president enjoys the rights to due process, which means he can call witnesses and lay out his defense.
That's why I think we're not going to have witnesses, because I think between Dershowitz and others, they're going to make the case forcibly that Biden does need to testify and lay out the grounds for it. And then they kind of go, well, that's not fair. They can call it everything in the book, but they're not going to be able to vote for it. The MR Show, don't forget, we're going to have Jeff Sessions in studio in about 10 minutes. Going to be back right after this.
He may not know whether he's coming or going. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Alabama Home Mortgage is in the business of saving you money. Hey there, I'm Kim Williams along with Madeline Cannon. Figuring out new ways to stretch your mortgage dollar is what we do at Alabama Home Mortgage.
Here's the deal. Getting started is as simple as dialing 567-4223. In fact, why not try doing that right now?
You'll be amazed at the amount of cash you can save. So please, don't wait any longer. Call 567-4223 right now.
A Montgomery firefighter called us with a four-alarm financial fiasco. He wanted to retire early, but had to clear up considerable credit card debt. Alabama Home Mortgage cut his monthly payment by $636 and got him $37,000 to extinguish the credit card inferno.
Take advantage of today's low rates and reduce your monthly payments much sooner than you ever thought was possible.
10 minutes is all it takes to find out how much you could save with your Alabama Home Mortgage.
Folks, there is a difference in mortgage companies. Call 567-4223 or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com and apply today. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
Once upon a time, if you had a water leak under your house or a broken drain line, the only solution was to dig. Don't dig a hole. Call Kohl. all. Cole Plumbing can repair any damaged or leaking pipes without digging in most cases. Cole Plumbing relines, repairs, and renews your pipes and with minimal interruption to your routine. All work comes with a limited warranty. Call Cole Plumbing today at 279-8919. And remember, you don't have to dig a hole. You can call Cole. Call 279-8919 today.
Traditionally, plumbers repair defective water, sewer, drain, and other pipelines by digging holes, breaking into floors, slabs, or walls. This type of destruction is a last resort at Cole Plumbing. With our unique pipelining technology, we can eliminate demolition that causes extreme inconvenience, disruption, and expense. Also, it's safer. So don't dig a hole. Call on Cole at 279-8919 or find us at coleplumbing.com. You'll be pleased you did. And remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Cole.
Live, local talk. The River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Two seven two nine two two eight. That's where we are. Ted Cruz talking about Hunter Biden testifying. Listen in.
Would that open up a whole nother can of worms? I mean, obviously, this whole focus on the president and this impeachment trial has put Hunter Biden and Joe Biden to the back seat. No one is actually talking about what went wrong there and why he accepted this money from foreign countries, leadership of foreign countries, while his father was sitting vice president.
Well, Maria, you're right, and the Democrats desperately want to keep that topic off the news, and sadly, an awful lot of folks in the media are very compliant with that. But that's why I said this week the president having the opportunity to defend himself is so important, because I think one of the fundamental defenses that I expect to hear from the White House this week is that the president has inherent authority and, in fact, a responsibility to investigate corruption. And when you look at what happened with Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, there is at a minimum a prima facie evidence of corruption. You've got Hunter Biden getting paid $83,000 a month by Burisma, the largest natural gas company in Ukraine. $83,000 a month is $1 million a year.
Wow.
Hunter Biden had zero experience in oil and gas. It's not like he was a geologist or geophysicist. He was getting that money, the obvious inference is, because his daddy was vice president. And Joe Biden is on video, the Council of Foreign Relations, bragging that he blocked $1 billion in foreign loans and foreign aid to Ukraine until they fired the prosecutor who was potentially investigating Burisma, the company on which Hunter Biden sat on the board. If the Biden family is profiting to the tunes of millions of dollars, the president is entirely justified saying, let's investigate and find out what happened. That's why Hunter Biden is such an important witness and why the Democrats don't want to focus on what was the evidence of actual corruption. I expect to hear a lot from the White House defense team this week.
Now, the next part is, Ted Cruz is very good with this whole thing. He's much more of a teacher than he is a rah-rah kind of guy. Let me go to a break. Dan Morris Show, we're going to be back right after this.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Let's face it. Credit cards are pretty much a necessity.
New tires for the car? Here's my card.
I take my daughter and her college friends out for sushi? Here's my card. And most of us just accept the high interest rates credit cards charge as a necessary evil.
What are you going to do?
Here's what you can do. Get a low fixed-rate credit card consolidation loan from LightStream and pay off those credit card balances. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and you could get your money as soon as the day you apply. The average credit card company charges over 19% APR, but with LightStream, you can get a fixed rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay.
Now I can pay off my high-interest credit cards and save money with a much lower rate. Thanks, Lightstream.
Want an even lower interest rate? Apply today at lightstream.com/news and get an additional interest rate discount. That's lightstream.com/news for an additional discount. Lightstream.com/news.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/news for more information.
Hey, this is Eddie Bader. If you're looking for results, I really suggest you use Blue Water Broadcasting as advertised. I've had a great time and great success using Blue Water. They're truly like family. Again, this is Eddie Bader, realtor with the Goodson Group in Montgomery.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
News. I'm Rich Dennison. The Senate impeachment trial of President Trump on obstruction of Congress and abuse of power begins tomorrow.
House Democrats say there's overwhelming evidence President Trump abused his office by using congressionally approved security aid to Ukraine to try to force an investigation of former Vice President Joe Biden. A reply brief from President Trump's legal team says he did absolutely nothing wrong and calls the impeachment a dangerous perversion of the Constitution.
Fox's Jared Halpern on Capitol Hill. Two are dead after a gunman opened fire outside of Kansas City, Missouri bar Sunday.
We do believe that the shooter that started the incident is one of the deceased parties. And the information that we're getting is that an armed security guard at the location stopped the shooter.
Police Captain David Jackson. The number of cases of a rare virus in southern China has exceeded 200, including the first human-to-human transmission. America is listening to Fox News.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Montgomery Subaru. The experience you want from a dealer is at Montgomery Subaru. 3000 Eastern Boulevard or on the web at MontgomerySubaru.com.
Montgomery Subaru. Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. What a big change from last week. This week, we have a tiny taste of the Arctic. On this MLK holiday, a cold day, kind of breezy, high only in the mid-40s. Tonight, clear, very cold. Low temperature, low to mid-20s by dawn. Potential wind chill, mid-teens. Tuesday's high temperature in the middle 40s. We'll be down to 24 late Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning. A little warmer late week, upper 50s on Thursday. Rain returns Thursday night. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Buying or building a new home comes with many difficult decisions. The mortgage process shouldn't be one of them. Let CBNS Bank's experienced mortgage lenders make the process easy. Visit a CBNS Bank office or cbsbank.com. All loans subject to credit approval. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1, WACV. News Talk 93.1.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Dan Morris Show on a Monday, starting your week out right. As promised, Senator Jeff Sessions in-house. Senator, Attorney General, welcome aboard.
Thank you. So I'm with the Dan Morris.
A Dan Morris.
Montgomery's voice.
There you go. We're trying our best here. You know, I'm so glad that you're here today, particularly in studio. You have a real rare background. You know, last time you were here and you were announced, I said there have only been 85 attorney generals and there are 100 senators. You fill a very rare role in history. But here's another one. You were a senator during the Clinton trial, and you were on the judiciary at that time, too, weren't you?
Yes.
So you have a very interesting perspective. I watched you on Fox, Laura Ingraham, in your interview. I thought your commentary on that was outstanding, by the way.
I forgot. What?
Don't do that.
What I said.
What you did is you kind of laid out some of the pieces of it. They're talking about picking up that model Lindsey Graham is, and what do you think the process is going to look like this week?
Well, I don't have inside information,
okay,
but I think Lindsey is probably accurate in what he said. There is an option to try. It may not be the right thing to do, but just do a dismissal.
Mm-hmm.
Just say the charges in the impeachment do not amount to what should justify an impeachment. In my opinion, they aren't close to being justified as an impeachment charge. Doesn't charge a single crime. for example, nothing. And the Constitution talks about treason, bribery, high crimes, and misdemeanors. So I think that is probably the votes are not there to dismiss it, according to Lindsey. Then that leaves you with what happened in Clinton. And there was a dispute over it. People argued about it. But the final agreement was that they would, House managers would present their case. The senators would ask questions, and the what president would present his case through his lawyers, and that then a decision would be made as to whether to call more witnesses or live witnesses and bring them back to the chamber and or otherwise examine them. And it was decided that not to. They just it was unlikely that any new evidence would come forth to change the minds of the people, the Democrats in that case, who were not going to vote to convict. So it's a little bit in the reverse this time, but it has some similarities.
Let me ask you some technical questions here. You just said that the senators could ask questions. I understand they have to write down the question, give it to the Chief Justice, and the Chief Justice reads that question.
That's my understanding about how it worked, yes.
Were there questions during your time there, during Clinton?
I think so.
And so would it be possible for a senator to ask a question of Adam Schiff through the Chief Justice?
Well, I think it could be. They could certainly try. As, you know, that old ancient rule.
When did you talk to the whistleblower, for example?
Yeah, the old ancient rule is no harm in asking. It could happen that way, I would think. He could decline to answer it and say it's not relevant. And I don't know if the Chief Justice would rule or not. I'll tell you this little story.
Please.
So Trent Lott was a majority leader during the Clinton administration. Mm-hmm. They had a difficult time deciding how the case would proceed because nobody had firmly decided this, whether there would be witnesses or not and how it would be conducted. So he asked me and two other senators to meet with Chief Justice Rehnquist, who, you know, wrote a book on impeachment. I mean, this guy and I think are great, great justice. So he was Chief Justice. So he asked us to go see him, and we did. And we asked him, Mr. Chief Justice, how do you want to proceed with this trial? And he sat there and just quickly responded, well, the Constitution says the Senate is to decide how the trial goes forward. I just rule. And that's all he said.
And he just stayed out of the way.
Yeah,
said.
Get out. You guys go back and figure out how you're going to run this trial, which reminds me with some emphasis that the House doesn't get to tell the Senate how to run the trial either. I mean, this is given to the Senate, but there are rules passed in 1868 that are pretty amazingly relevant today. I think would hold the test of time, and the gist of them, those rules are to have a prompt trial. So that's why it must start promptly in the Senate. It also laid out procedures for a fair trial, and it did not answer whether or not witnesses are to be called, but I think it said you could. And in the Clinton matter, the vote was not to call witnesses in any extended fashion.
But they did have witnesses that testified behind closed doors.
I think they had some depositions that didn't amount to
much. If you
much.
Listen to Chuck Schumer, he's got into that. It was witnesses all over the place, type of thing.
It is true that the Democrats have impeached the President of the United States, wrongly, I think. But they have impeached him, and they said they had in their possession sufficient evidence for him to be convicted, or they should never have impeached him. And so, or what is it? Let's see what you got. Oh, we want more witnesses. We want to go on a fishing expedition. We want to call this, that, and the other. No, no, no. You impeached. You built a record that you say in the House that all the members of the House felt, the Democrat members, except one, and that this would justify impeachment. We'd like for you to lay it out. So one of the theories I've had is they really know that this would be pretty embarrassing because it's not enough.
Right.
They can't even state a crime. not close to an impeachable offense.
But you hear them, they talk about overwhelming evidence.
Yes. And so we're going to want to see that. So how do you get around that? Well, you create another distraction.
Right.
More witnesses, more witnesses, more witnesses. But the President of the United States is entitled to be tried on the charges against him, in my opinion, presented by the House. And is there sufficient evidence to, bring an impeachment to conclusion? And it's not, in my opinion. But we'll see how it goes. I just really believe, Dan, essentially, the Democrats have spent over 3 years with a narrative. And that narrative is that this president is lawless. He committed crimes. He colluded with the Russians. He impacted the election improperly. Issue after issue after issue have been proven to be false. And I used to teach my assistants when I was United States Attorney for 12 years as a prosecutor, when you get to a case and there's not enough proof, you just stand up and dismiss it. The worst thing you can do is to continue to try to proceed with a case that's not justified. There are plenty of people that ought to be prosecuted, not innocent people, or people you're not going to be able to convict them on.
Right.
So that's the way I felt like they should have admitted they didn't have the evidence and not gone forward. But they refused to because they thought, possibly, that this would be negative politically. That President Trump would kick them in the teeth, which he probably would have. I told you it was a witch hunt all along. You know, you admit you didn't have enough evidence. But that's not the important thing. If you don't have enough evidence, you should not go forward with an impeachment. You just should not. It's wrong to do so.
How? What is it like in the chamber? Because you're in the formal chamber. You're in the old Senate chambers. What was it like in there? Is it boring as can be? Is it because you can't talk to each other, no phones, no laptops or anything like that? What is the atmosphere like in the chamber?
Well, there are things that people paid attention to. House managers, particularly those who had compelling communication skills, some of them had compelling facts that might be boring, but you needed to know and listen to. And counsel would make arguments, but it's certainly not like a full-throated debate or something.
Right.
It's just a lot of it. You have to lay out your foundational case. You have to prove certain things that most people know but need to be proven in the record. So that will be the job of the managers. So you remember, like, probably Lindsey Graham was one of the more famous ones.
Now, you're going to say, Dan, you need to go get a life. I went back and looked at the opening statements of Lindsey Graham and Dale Bumpers, who was representing Clinton at that time, who was very interesting colloquy that he did from the floor. But Lindsey made a very compelling argument to me. And is this in his wheelhouse? I mean, he is talking about trying to, if they can't get Hunter Biden, is bringing Hunter Biden before his judiciary committee and interviewing him because he wants to get to what is the beginning of all of this. And do you see him a very capable type senator?
Lindsey Graham is extraordinarily capable when it comes to asserting himself in a hearing like this. When in my confirmation, he had a fabulous comment or two. I wrote him. I told him, you've made a lot of great comments in town, but I believe that was the best one ever.
What was it?
You want me to tell you?
Please.
So I had gotten the Annie Taylor Award, which is named for Annie Taylor, who won over the Niagara Falls in a barrel. And by David Horowitz, who's a conservative California brilliant guy, former communist, but become a very strong conservative, and he gave it to me. And so he had said some things that made the Democrats mad, and so they tried to say I was wrongly given the Annie Taylor Award, or that proved I was in league with radicals. And Lindsey says, well, I don't think the president will name me to a cabinet. That's for sure. He'd opposed him, you remember. He said, he certainly can't do it because I didn't win the I won the Annie Taylor Award too, and it just cracked everybody up. But that's the kind of quick thing he can do. It's just spontaneous, and he's effective in that. He's not always perfectly correct, but he's pretty often. He's a good lawyer. I mean, he's a lawyer.
What he said after the Kavanaugh hearing to the Democrats about what they did, that was the change of Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham became a hero to me because I think he had too much John McCain baggage up to that point, but all of a sudden he found his voice.
I think there's some value to that insight.
Let's talk about the campaign and how things are going here in Alabama. What are you hearing out on the campaign trail?
Well, people are nice to me. I think I'm carrying the Cracker Barrel vote.
That's good.
I love the... So, you know, we always try to meet people, and they come up to you, and they say nice things. They may vote for somebody else, who knows, but people are very kind and generous, and I feel like that people at least... think I've tried to do the best I could as a senator and as attorney general.
What are people concerned about that you're talking about? Where's this impeachment, for example, on the scale on 1 to 10? How high up is that to voters?
I think it's pretty high. People, you know, they'll always express everything that's on their mind, but very often people talk about wasting of time, and this is ridiculous, nothing's going to happen about it. We need to get on with our business. I hear that a lot. And that indicates to me they do not believe the president should be impeached, and it's time to get on with the business of our government. They don't believe it justifies impeachment at bottom line. I hear that a lot.
What do you think Doug Jones is going to do?
I don't know. Dan, you're sophisticated in this stuff. I would say he's procedurally given the Democrats the support they need. He defended Nancy Pelosi holding back the documents. He said call witnesses. They're the same ones that Chuck Schumer once called. He's never once defended Donald Trump in the face of very, very many unfair attacks on him. Alabama, Trump. They believe in Trump. They voted overwhelmingly for Trump. You would think a senator for it would at least every now and then say the man's been unfairly treated. So he's not a voice for us. Second, what everybody's listening right now needs to understand, he is lockstep with the Democrats. And if they can get a majority in the Senate, and one of the keys to it would be holding his seat as a Democratic senator from Alabama, which should not happen. If they hold Alabama, they could pick up a couple of seats. That's realistically possible. Senator Shelby would cease to be the chairman of the Appropriations Committee, which is the premier committee in there. Everybody else, Lindsey Graham would cease to be the chairman of Judiciary, and I don't know, Dick Durbin or somebody, one of the liberal Democrats, would be the chairman. Every committee would flip to a Democrat. Dianne Feinstein and all the liberals that have been there a long time would chair all the committees. So that's a huge power shift. And Alabama does not need to do that. Alabama needs to play our role in sending to Washington a conservative Republican who will fight for our values, not special interest values, not establishment values. And I think it's just very important.
You know, on the day the articles went over, Trump signed the USMCA, and ABC, NBC, and CBS News, it got zero coverage. Not 1 second of that was covered. That was a major piece, a major accomplishment for Donald Trump, and nothing was said about it. What is the impact of that, do you believe, if Canada signs their side? What's the impact of Alabama on that?
You mean on NAFTA or the elimination of NAFTA? So first of all, NAFTA was repealed. President Trump promised he was going to end that. It was a terrible treaty, he said, trade agreement. He was not for it. He was going to change it. People thought it was not going to happen. People said that kind of thing a lot. But in fact, he has rewritten. NAFTA's out. We've got a new U.S.-Mexican-Canadian trade agreement that'll add 176,000 jobs, the experts say, 28,000 automobile jobs, which I hope Alabama will get a chunk of them. It advantages our agriculture exports and has a lot of things. So this is a, without doubt, his gumption and courage, threatening, he had to threaten Canada and Mexico with tariffs, and he brought them to the table, and they've agreed to a much better trade agreement. And the same thing is happening with China. He's got the guts to stand up to them, all these special interests, and some of them are hurt. Some, you know, the ag people have been, I'm proud of them. They did the best they could to suffer through this. But when it's over, they're going to be the winners. Because these people are selling us billions of dollars in high-tech stuff, and they don't even buy our chicken and too few of our soybeans. Give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
We need to tell them they have to have our market, Dan. They're making $500 billion a year surplus on what they sell to us. They have to sell in the U.S. market. We can buy our stuff from Canada, Mexico, Philippines, India, South Korea, Japan, our allies, Europe. It would be inconvenient for us probably for a while, but it wouldn't be nearly as devastating to us as it would be to China if they no longer can sell to the United States. And Trump knows that. We talked about it on the airplane. He and I did two or three times during the campaign. He didn't have to be told this. He knew it in his bones because he's a negotiator and a businessman. So we have the leverage. And that's why China had to come to the table.
You were there during the FISA applications going over. You saw the Inspector General's report, Horowitz. FISA 702 gets renewed in March. What changes do you think need to happen with FISA in the application process to make it where we don't have what we think happened before?
I have not decided exactly what changes should be made, but I do believe changes should be made, and I think they will be. And if they're not, it may not be reauthorized. It might not be extended. I don't think it will. I do believe that kind of procedure is important, and it is for complicated legal reasons. If you got an agent of a foreign power, then they go under a different standard than otherwise would be the case, and that's a key part of it. A spy, an official agent of a foreign power, it provides that you can do this surveillance with proof. You have to submit it in proof in writing, and I'm telling you, some of them are 80-100 pages, but at least you've got a record, so somebody can come back, like in this case, and analyze and maybe hold to account people if they didn't properly and honestly report the situation.
I think it's very important that the FBI and DOJ kind of regain themselves, because the trust factor is very, very low out here. David Chris, who has an oversight responsibility for the FISA court to look at these applications. Did you know him? What do you think of him? He has said a lot of bad things about Lindsey Graham, Devin Nunes, and that the FISA process was all fine to him. Were you familiar with him during your time there?
Not really then, but I am troubled by his background. I mean, by all the lawyers they can find in Washington, why would the judge pick somebody who's been publicly in the fray that evidences a predisposition with regard to some of the matters, it appears, coming before the court and liable to come up during the investigation? So I really think I'm disappointed that occurs. Somebody said, is the court trying to get the FISA canceled? I think we need to keep it and fix it. I think it would be damaging. I'm confident it would be damaging to national security. And if we didn't have a FISA process of some kind. And I think you are right. We ought to have a good top-to-bottom review by somebody who's got a high degree of credibility and shouldn't play around with somebody who could be alleged to have a bias.
Let me go to a very quick break, coming back to Jeff Sessions right after this.
Or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Saving usually means lowering your expectations, settling for less. But no one ever got less and thought, good for me. Now you can save on all your favorite stuff without giving anything up. Surf, swipe, and stream as much as you want with WOW Internet for only $34.99 a month with no data caps and our 2-year price lock guarantee. These are savings you can count on. Learn more at wowway.com.
Wow.
Offer for new customers with a 2-year agreement. Auto pay and paperless billing. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra subject to change. Restrictions apply.
How much do you earn with your checking account? Start earning more. Start earning four with Guardian Credit Union's Ultimate Checking Account. You'll earn 4% APY on your average daily balance. You'll also get free online and mobile banking, a free instant-issue debit card, an awards program, and more. Open an Ultimate Checking Account today at Guardian Credit Union and start earning more. Start earning four. Go to myguardiancu.com for details. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live local talk. The River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1, WACV.
Jeff Sessions in the house, in studio. It's always a pleasure to have him here. Another subject near and dear to your heart. The border. You see what's going on in the Guatemalan-Mexico border. The Mexico Marines are standing there stopping the Guatemalans from coming in, which was your vision 2 years ago out here.
And President Trump's vision. He's so frustrated over that very subject that how we have to let people in the country before we deport them when they shouldn't be able to get in to begin with.
How surprised are you that Mexico is cooperating and helping us out so much?
A little bit of surprise. They haven't been in the past. This is clearly credit to the administration. I'm not sure how they've brought Mexico around, but they know the president means business. They know this is very, very, very important to him. He does have a lot of the various leverage points that could be very, very damaging to Mexico. I'm sure he doesn't want to use them, but they know that. And so somehow he's gotten them a lot more active. That's one of the best things that's happened.
Let's go to the phone. So let's go to Rare Top. Rare Top, you're on with Senator, former Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
Good afternoon, Senator, Attorney General. You have a long title. If you too many more, it's going to take so long to announce you, we're not going to be able to talk to you. The Department of Justice has become so severely corrupt. It's scary. And I'm sure you saw, you have been so closed-mouthed about this. It's kind of scary, and when you say you don't really know any solutions how to straighten the FISA court out, who would if you don't, Jeff? So I'm kind of at a loss at how we can resolve some of these problems that we have with the FISA court and all that if even you don't know how to straighten it out. Do you feel it's just better to get rid of it? And with all the surveillance and CIA and all these other intelligence agencies, don't you think it is over-redundant?
Most people who've been very involved in the protection of America from terrorist attack believe it would be devastating to lose FISA. When I said I don't know, I mean I'm not prepared to write out the amendments right now to solve, make you happy. But I am prepared to say change has to occur. We need to have intense involvement in studying it. And a good senator needs to have the judgment to know what the changes are, will they work, and are they going to be good changes. So I think I'd be able to contribute very well in that kind of environment, as we would hammer out the kind of changes that could enhance and improve and perhaps totally eliminate these kind of abuses. That would be our goal.
Let me ask you a question. Hold on 1 second. Do you think having someone there who is in opposition of the warrant, or who's going to check the warrant? Because right now it's just whatever they say in the warrant is what it is.
That is going to be a very valuable discussion. And how that's done, or how it exactly how it would need to be done, I think you'd have to, every word would need to be watched. And they would be. This deal would not happen without the greatest care, I'll tell you, because there are people on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, and it's not going to be done lightly, and it shouldn't be done lightly.
Rich, thanks for the telephone call. Let me go to Randall. Randall, you're on with Senator Jeff Sessions.
How you doing, Senator? Question, do you not think this is our time to keep, let the, not opening up the investigation, the Senate kind of writing it off and closing the book? Ain't that the wrong thing to do at this time? Ain't this our way in to get to the truth, to get to the bottom? And once this door shuts, how we get back in there, if it does shut?
Well, to what subject are you talking about, Randall?
To find out the truth, about the whole... I don't want to...
Are you talking about FISA, or are you talking about the impeachment?
702, the impeachment, their fake stories. So we got something to stand on that hand that we can show people, and not just close the books and say, hey, y'all, it was all... it's Trump and them covering it up. Now he done got his people to cover it up.
Let's let Senator answer.
Well, I think you're right in the sense that this is the time, this is the chance, this is the opportunity to review what's been going on for all these years, to see what kind of problems have arisen, to identify the dangers that are there, and to figure out how to minimize or eliminate those dangers. If we cannot do this without eliminating FISA, that would be a loss to our national security, I'll tell you that.
Devin Nunes has said that, but Devin Nunes said if they don't fix it, that they are going to lose it.
Well, I think Devin's right in that. I think he's said that correctly.
Tell me, thanks for the telephone call, Randall. Tell the audience how they can help and contact your campaign.
Well, jeffsessions.com will get them on track. I would love to have help. People who would put on a bumper sticker, yard signs, make contributions, talk to their neighbors. We have to have that. I would urge anybody that cares about the Senate, make sure that we have the right kind of information available to them. We want to do that, and hopefully we'll continue to see that momentum going in our way.
Senator, I really appreciate you coming into the studio today. It's always great to have you here. We'd love to have you back soon.
Thank you. I always enjoy this. This is the closest we've got, to a town hall in America.
There you go. Joey, I want to thank you for a great show.
Good show.
Audience, thank you. Be good. Be safe. Be back tomorrow at 12 o'clock, and I keep doing this until I get it right. Greg Budell is going to be a little late, so Joey Clark is going to be sitting in with Larry Stevens.
I think he got here, actually.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Greg Budell, the